The Housing Planning and Regeneration and Regulatory Services Committee. Said that all in one go, which is good.
Well,
good job there's no remunerations in that, otherwise we'd all be in trouble. Just to note that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council website, charnwood.gov.uk. pages.com/committee. In addition, please be advised that under the openness of local government bodies regulation 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. Okay. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services officer who is administrating the meetings. That was Nadia. Real, that's that one out of the way. Welcome you all. Before we go through the agenda proper, I just want to quickly make comments about members wanting to leave meetings to go to other meetings. I think obviously I understand now and again it does happen, but I think people need to prioritise what meetings they do sit on, and if they have other meetings that they regularly attend, then they need to consider it in the future. I don't say more on that, I just wanted to mention that. So, Councillor Jones.
Well, as put on here, I did mention it at the time of the leader. Tonight's meeting I am chair of at Syston, and there is a very contentious issue going on. So.
You need to make your choice, so.
I will go at 7 to get there.
Okay, without asking. Okay. Okay, apologies for the meeting. Have we had any apologies?
We haven't had any, Chair.
Okay, item number two minutes of the previous meeting. The minutes have been circulated to members. Are all members happy that the true and accurate record proposed by Councillor Capleton and seconded by Councillor Bradshaw, all in favour?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's unanimous.
Lovely.
Okay, real. Oh, sorry, no. Item three, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Do we have any disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests? Okay, none mentioned. Item four, declarations from the party whip. No declarations of the existence of the party whip were made. So item number five, questions under scrutiny committee procedure 11.16. No questions were submitted. So we'll move on to the work programme, if that's okay, which is on the agenda. Okay, if everyone's had a chance to look over, we've also got quite a few items here for the next meeting, the 23rd of June, so there's quite a bit on there. So I think I'd like to, certainly at that meeting, keep the items there. We may get other ones from scrutiny in time. But what I was going to also add, that we are open for members to submit other items for scrutiny here, but I would want to see with that what I call a business case showing what the benefit of scrutiny is going to be, that sort of thing. So happy for other items to come onto the agenda for the future work programs, but I think we just need to make sure that we are looking, you know, at that sort of benefit of those items as well. So happy to do that for future agendas. So I think the work program, so we've got quite a few coming up on the 23rd. Are there anything you want to add on that, Nadia?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, real. And I think the 15th and the other meetings at the moment, we have got slots available, but those will probably get filled up as we get closer, and plus if there are any other items. So unless anyone has any real comments on the work programme at this point, Councillor Caton.
Just a question on page 10, 23rd of June, the private sector licensing scheme. Could somebody tell me what that is, please?
part of the work that's been ongoing in relation to additional and selective licensing. So it started back in 2013.
This is licensing what?
Licensing private sector housing. So it'll either be additional licensing scheme, which would be any houses in multiple occupation that don't fall under the current mandatory. And then private sector licensing is selective, is every property that is private sector within a designated area.
As soon as I saw Margaret, I should have known.
just to add to that, Chair, if I may, it was the consultation referred to was following a Cabinet report.
Yes.
And the Cabinet approved the proposal to consider a scheme and to undergo a period of consultation. So what you've got on your web programme is to get an update on what those responses were in relation to the consultation process.
Thank you. Okay, so I expect they'll be quite lively, hopefully, so that's a bit of a hot topic. Nothing more work programme. We'll move on to the quarterly performance monitoring report, which is pages 13 to 30. Which I think on those we normally look through the items that are red, that have come up red. I think in the first item I've got, which is on page 20, which is the encouraging new jobs to the borough through promotion of the delivery of science and enterprise park. I think Richard, you've got some comments on that.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just to update the committee around this issue. The matter of the enterprise zone is now being led by the chief executive rather than directly through the service. And this is because discussions with the LEP have become somewhat protracted, and a memorandum of understanding is being prepared with them to define the governance arrangements, but it has become somewhat delayed by the discussions between the various parties involved. So that's about as much as I can update the committee with at this time.
Does anyone have any questions on that?
I just want to extra point. The one other thing about the memorandum is that it's effectively it's a four-way process. So it's us, the LEP, but also the City Council and also Hinckley and Bosworth. So the documentation is not wholly under our control, and I have to say that in its own way is quite frustrating as well. But it's progressing.
Okay, thank you. Okay, page 23, I think Richard again getting himself on this one.
Yes, sharing myself in glory, Chair, tonight. The two items on page 23 relate to two capital projects that were in the business plan, the Shepshed Public Realm Works and also Bedford Square. There is project management arrangements around each of those capital projects. Unfortunately, there have been delays for both projects on occasion of the County Council withdrawing its design feasibility service to local authorities with their highway projects. So as a consequence of that, we had to commission consultants to undertake that role instead, and that procurement process and the time for consultants to undertake the works has caused the delay to the programme. So in the business plan, we were anticipating the scheme being approved for implementation by December 2019. For both of those capital projects, and I think we're now talking about a report to Cabinet to go no go in May of this year, so about a 5-month delay.
Okay, does anyone else have anything more to add to that, or any questions? Okay. Just one comment. I'd just add that actually listening to the local radio this morning at breakfast time, certainly discussions about things that could go in the Shep master plan. I think a swimming pool was the seems to be the favourite item. So it is obviously something that people do sort of discuss. I don't know whether Councillor Morgan's got anything to add on these two items.
The only discussions I've had so far have been on inclusion of toilets within the master plan, so I don't know about the swimming pool unless that's slightly more inclusive version of the toilet.
Yes,
that's
Councillor Rance.
Richard, it's also the media, and I want to make it clear that is for the media. Where Bedford Square and Ward's End is concerned, I gather the actual media are actually announcing that there's going to be no further parking up there. Is that correct?
No.
Radio Leicester.
It's not correct.
I'm a great person on Radio Leicester.
The draft scheme includes parking along on street along Bedford Square and Ward's End. It's fair to say that it's less than what's there at the moment.
Yes.
But the scheme is subject to consultation. There's a public exhibition at the end of this week, Friday and Saturday, where people can submit their comments about the proposals.
Yeah, lovely. That's good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure I saw a working model on Facebook of a 3D plan.
Working model?
There is a
fly through, like a drone's eye view.
Right.
A CGI model.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone has anything else on these items? Okay, we'll go over the page 24. Sorry, we've got the page on the side, which is the two items I've got. Alan Twells and Councillor Smitherish on those to run through those two items.
Would you like me to open it?
Either or.
Right, so this is in relation to the Beehive Lane car park. For safety reasons, we needed to install railings on the top floor. We've put it out to tender. We had one response, which was really not very satisfactory. So it had to go back out to tender. There are quite a few stages involved in the process, from the design, planning and so on. In other words, we'd gone right back to the drawing board with a complete new specification, and it was put out to tender on the 20th of January with a changed, I think Alan described it as a more traditional style, and a little more lightweight and able to bolt. So what we've actually ended up with is a more cost-effective scheme, which I think members will be pleased with. Fairly traditional, but it will be completed by April.
Nice. Okay.
That's good.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions on this?
I don't like the sound of my own voice, honestly. the reason for actually installing railings, so how was it, a health and safety reason?
Very much so.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
So, okay, well, we look forward to the attrition of railings, or also the improvements to the car park. That's to all the car park. That's still there. So I missed that one. Resurfaced. So we'll head over to, unless there's anything else, we'll head over to the next item on the agenda. We've got the 5-year housing land supply update. We've got Councillor Morgan, Richard Bennett to
briefly open. Basically, no real change. We still have one. And the report sets out our expectation and hope that come the count in April, we will still have one there. So on the whole, quite a positive report. But now the detail.
No further questions.
I think it is important to monitor. And once you sort of gut feeling at the moment. We're going to be on target for 5 years health supplies. Is that correct?
Chair, I think we are, but I think it's right that the level of supply will be reduced from the 6.41 years that we're showing at the moment. So the process starts in April 2020 to look at the information that we have available, and we hope to publish a new number in May. And at that point, we'll be updating the committee as to where we actually are.
It is 5 years. Is there an extra percentage on that, or has that now been removed? I think it's 5 years plus a percentage for naughty boy councils.
Chair, the council isn't one that is in special measures or has any penalties exerted against it in terms of its 5 year supply calculation. We have also more than satisfied the housing delivery test, which is another government tool to incentivise performance.
Okay.
Provided we don't drop below the 5 year.
It is just the five year supply then.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Does anyone have it, Councillor Gerard?
Yeah, you say we're 6.4. Is Charnwood following the government instructions that developers have to use up the land before they can buy any more to develop?
That's not government instructions, unfortunately.
It isn't?
No.
I thought it was coming into force last year. No?
Talking about use of land banking.
But the developers still own a heck of a lot of land without it being developed as yet.
Through you, Chair, the government has consulted a number of times over the last few years about how it can speed up the delivery of housing, and the initiative that you're talking about has been discussed, but it's not been taken forward. And it's right that developers own much of the land around most of the built-up areas in the country and have agreements with landowners, options as they're called, for those sites to be brought forward for development. But that doesn't necessarily mean that those sites are in the right places at the right time to fulfil the council's local plans. Mm. Yeah. So, we have to be quite measured and careful about how we point the finger at developers. I think they do have a very important role to play, but they don't necessarily have the panacea to all of our delivery woes.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Anything else from anybody on that one? So, I think obviously we're keen to make sure we keep the 5 year houses for five big figures. We don't want to really be going back to how we were a few years ago, where basically everything was lost on a hill because we just couldn't meet the numbers. I think that's an important message. You're obviously aware that it is important, but keep a little good work on that just from your own. I appreciate that there are factors there that you can't take into account, but it's important just to monitor and keep an eye on that. So next item, no further questions. We have got the local development scheme again, Richard and Councillor.
If I just set up the top level and then Richard can talk about the detail. So the local development scheme, as the report sets out, is a statutory requirement to set out our timescale towards producing the next local plan. You'll see some of the times on there. Referencing back to your comments about the 5 year supply, clearly that is one of our key objectives this time around with the local plan. But we also have many obligations to be able to actually get our local plan in place, and the development scheme as a result sets out some of those challenges, whether it's by agreement with our neighbouring authorities or whether with many statutory authorities that have comment, plus also the supply of land and government legislation, increasingly changing government legislation quite often, which all of which has to feed into the local plan. It's a bit like playing chess in three dimensions with multiple different chess partners. Every time a piece is moved, somebody else moves one in a completely opposite direction. You have to then accommodate your strategy to accommodate the ever-changing sort of nature of the board, still trying to retain the objective of obviously trying to pass that local plan and making sure that we have a compliant local plan that actually then delivers the five-year supply and the housing requirements for the borough. This is incredibly, and I have to say, the more you look into it, you realise just how complex it is. Fortunately, we have a planning department who are well versed in the complexity and understanding of the local parameters that affect us regionally, but also locally and also nationally, as far as legislation in particular is concerned. But the programme is as set out in the local development scheme, and hopefully the report sets out the reasoning behind some of the key dates that we're now looking at. I'll pass over to Richard at this point.
Thank you, Councillor Morgan, through you, Chair. Just to add to that, the process of preparing the local plan is guided by the Local Development Framework Project Board, which the leader and lead member, chief executive and strategic director sit on. They tasked the local plans team with an accelerated programme to bring forward the local plan a year or so ago. And that accelerated programme is based on assumptions around things like full staff complement, no competing priorities and things like that, which are detailed in the report. It is the case that over the year since the last time we produced the local development scheme, it's an annual process every March, there have been pressures on the work to bring the local plan forward, not least some staff churn, turnover of staff. Members may recall that the group leader of the local plans, policies and placemaking group, which looks after the local plan, left the authority in September and has been replaced by Claire Clark, who's now leading the group. And in turn, Claire Clark had been promoted up through the ranks, and so we had to backfill her, and then the person that was ultimately successful in replacing Claire. So there has been some staff turnover and churn, which has caused a pressure within the team. And we've also had competing priorities from other work, including supporting planning appeals, supporting the strategic planning agenda, and in particular the Statement of Common Ground, which is a necessary piece of work to ensure that all the districts in the Leicestershire area are working together under the duty to cooperate, and we've got an agreement about where any unmet housing needs are being distributed to. So it has been quite tricky. We've tried to minimise the amount of slippage in the programme where possible. The local plan, which was published as a draft at the end of last year, calendar year, has generated quite a significant amount of questions for us to follow up and pursue before we can move to the next stage of the process. And in particular, it identified 25 new sites proposed by developers, and they need to be assessed and looked at and to see if they are better options than the sites we've already got in the plan. And interestingly, because we've got a strategy to concentrate development in urban centres, so in Loughborough in particular, some of those sites we've identified are brownfield sites, but where we've had no response from landowners to bring those sites forward for development, which is really quite interesting. We've not been in that situation before. We've always had developers knocking down the door, so this is a new challenge for us that we're trying to address. And some of the sites are, these urban sites are more complicated and they're more three-dimensional. They've got more dependencies that need to be pursued and looked at. So all of these things taken together have amounted to about a three-month delay in the programme, which is set out in the annex to the report. But we are still maintaining the philosophy of an accelerated programme, albeit recognising where we are in terms of the amount of work that still needs to be done. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Obviously, it is slightly disappointing that we are delayed, but we obviously noted the various reasons and some things. Life is all too perfect. I understand. Also, working with other authorities and with their sort of changing needs, to suppose Leicester City Council and wanting to expand far beyond the limits of their boundaries, to be quite frank, where they've got lots of brownfield sites, and certainly I think they need to look at building taller as well, such as other cities like Nottingham. That's, but obviously that's outside of your control. But yeah, those are sort of comments here. But do any members have anything else to add on to this?
On page 36, when it talks about the duty to cooperate, and key piece of evidence must be included, and one is flood risk assessment. In view of what's been happening this year, is there any plans to beef up the flood risk assessment? Or?
Through you, Chair. That's a piece of work that we are reviewing this year. Furthermore, we understand the Environment Agency is doing some further modelling, in particular of the Loughborough area as well. So, we're hoping to have all that in place ready for this submission version of the plan.
And another one to you, Chair. Could this, when we submit this to the inspector, could he reject it?
Again, through you, Chair. The inspector could decide that the plan that's been submitted doesn't meet the fundamental test under the duty to cooperate, and could reject it if he's mine or she's mine to do so.
Thank you.
But given your experience, you're confident that we should be okay on that sort of that side of things.
We've learned from the mistakes that some of our colleagues and other authorities have made under the duty to cooperate in the past. I won't name names, but I think we've always tried to minimise risk. Through the inspection process wherever possible, and the Local Development Framework Project Board has been a very useful forum and body to ensure that risk is being effectively managed and to hold the officers to account in the preparation of the document. We're as confident as we can be.
Big fingers crossed.
We don't need to cross fingers.
Can I actually commend the officers on the work in depth that they've done at this given moment in time? I'd like that on record, because it's a very onerous task and a thankless task. So, you know, keep up the good work. We'll just have your ears for garters if you don't do anything, that, you know. But apart from that, the work that's actually been put into this, and the time span that you've had to come up against, is very good. Mm-hmm. So you pass that on to your staff.
Okay. Anything else from anybody else?
No, that's all I've
done. Okay. Thank you for coming tonight. Okay, moving onwards, we've got the meeting item, update on universal credit implementation. We've got Peter on and Councillor Mercer to talk about that. We've got item 10, the update on the universal credit implementation. So if you'd like to kick off, and show members will have comments on this.
This is simply updating you on how it is progressing, and I don't think that it is significantly different from other reports. There is a steady rise in the number of people on universal credit. We always knew that there was going to be a significant increase in arrears, and have taken precautions to deal with that, not least the recent appointment of a new tenancy support officer. The figures are pretty well what we anticipated. There's been a slight drop, and the average debt has dropped. Another recent development which may have some impact is that the reason for the arrears is that they the money is paid in arrears and it's not paid directly to the landlord. And you may agree or disagree, but that's the way it's done, and that's the reason for the increase. That other little change is that we've just introduced a system of making direct debits more flexible, whereby they can be paid on any day rather than one of, I think, three fixed days. We should make it a little bit easier for people to get the money out of their account before they're tempted to spend it on something else. And Peter and I are happy to answer any more questions.
Quite impressed when I read it. It's pretty well what I expect as well. On 6.2 on page 56, you say the rent collection rates decrease and more move on to universal credit. That's what we expected. And then on the table, percentage of tenants not on universal credit and in arrears, that seems to have gone up. Not on universal, I was a bit surprised that those who stayed behind, the arrears of their arrears have gone up. So, you know, percentage of tenants not on universal credit and in arrears, mm-hmm. they've gone up from 19.9% to 23.7%. I'm just surprised to see it that way, because in view of what we were saying before, I expect it to go the other way.
There will be some kind of annual variation in rent payment patterns depending on when things like direct debits fall and things like that, so you're always going to get a little bit of variance when looking at a snapshot year on year. But I think it's also fair to say as well as of course that the workload of the team and the focus has been on universal credit as well, so it's reasonable to conclude as well that perhaps some of that capacity that might previously have existed for looking at rent accounts of people not on universal credit directed and targeted at those people, where the risk is moving up to as well. So now there's probably a couple of things going on there, I would say.
I think on balance, given the the confines of the system and how it's been embodied in legislation, I think we're doing quite well.
Okay, I've got Councillor Jarrell and Councillor Needham.
Thank you. Variation in this, I noticed that as well. Could it be some coming off universal credit and going on to monthly salary, and some coming off a monthly and going on to universal? Could that be into the figures?
Yes, you're always going to get people moving on and off, and that's going to affect the amount of arrears that people in a certain cohort own. So of course one of the things that you see is that what we do is when somebody moves on to universal credit, we put a flag against that account. And of course the next time we run and that person may well be coming, they may well all have already have say £300 worth of arrears, so the next time we run a report for how much the arrear is for universal credit, that £300, but that person or that tenancy will be in that report, and that £300 would then show within the cohort of debt owed by people on universal credit.
Does it also take in the zero working hours, contracts with people? Some might get 10 hours one week, 1 hour the next, and 30 the next. Does
0 hour contract?
It's not reflected anywhere in the report, but it may well be a factor in repeat today.
Right, thank you.
Okay. So I just want to say that this is just a snapshot, and so that's figures will always go up and down. So what happens, one of the exciting things I do when I sit down with Peter and Grant is he gives me a whole mass of statistics and hopes I don't look through too quickly.
You enjoy it.
So I can actually spot if there's any significant problem in any of our indicators. And if there are, then we deal with it. So unfortunately, it's perhaps lack of information sometimes gives the wrong impression.
Yeah, thank you.
Councillor Needham was next, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, just to pick up on what you said, what everyone's just said about how between universal credit tenants and other tenants, do you think that the new support officer and the new software is going to pick up everybody? So if there's if before you've been focused on just universal credit tenants, do you think that will help improve just the general rent arrears generally? And also, I was just wondering, like everyone said again, it does look like we're doing actually quite a lot, which is really, really good to help people. Are there any downsides at all to using this software? So, for example, does anyone slip through the cracks because it's just an algorithm and not a person speaking to them?
In respect of the latter question, we in fact think it will pick up people that we might not historically have looked at in the past, and it will. So there aren't any downsides particularly that we're aware of. We are going to do a review in 3 weeks' time. The implementation date or the go live date for the Mobisoft was yesterday, so 3 months down the line we'll be having a look at the business case to see whether it's something that we want to continue with. So all of, you know, it's a tool that's used by 140 of them organisations. So we expect it to make a significant impact.
And we'll be able to see that at the next
meeting. Yes, certainly. And it's, I think the other thing to say in terms of resources is that we've increased the size of the financial inclusion team. In preparing for this in the first instance, we've got a dedicated universal credit officer as well, and this additional tenancy support office as well. So there's already been quite a big increase in terms of the size of the team to meet this challenge. Of course, if we do need more resources going forward, then we'll look at putting those in place subject to appropriate business case.
Thank you.
Great.
Councillor
Caperton, did you want to?
Yeah, thanks. I was going to comment on the syringe sense application, but Councillor Needham's covered that.
Okay. I mean, do you find any sort of difference with December and other months? December's always a odd month for get statistics on the these things. It's not, I don't know whether there's much difference on other months or whether this is fairly sort of common. I appreciate there are sort of fluctuations, but I'd say December is an odd month, really, one thing and another.
Yeah, you are correct in that December is sort of an odd month for us in rent arrears patterns, because we have two rent-free weeks. But that said, the periods that are compared nothing has changed significantly. We're looking last December to this December in terms of the overall pattern of payment.
Well, anyone got anything else? Okay, if no one's got anything further to add on that, then I think that's the last item on the agenda tonight. Okay, thanks for the officers and the league members for coming on tonight, which is always good to see us everybody.